Romans chapter number 1, we read through the verse number 18 through 32 this morning, and so I won't take the time to read back through all of these passages of Scripture that we read, but I do want to read chapter 1, verse number 18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. The book of Romans it's a good news and a bad news book. It's interesting, Paul is writing very first chapter, he's introducing himself, he's telling us who he's writing to, and he sends greetings there to the Romans there and Christians in Rome, and he is letting them know that he is desiring to come see them, and gives us some information. And then he quickly gets into verse number 8 there in the 18, there in the very first chapter, and begins to talk about this, the wrath of God. And I want to preach this morning on God's most unpopular attribute. God's most unpopular attribute. It's not something that we necessarily want to speak about. But the reality is this, one of the benefits of preaching through a book and preaching verse by verse through these books, whatever the Bible says, we got to talk about. And it's easy at times to just kind of skip past certain portions of Scripture. But if it's in the Bible, we need to hear it. And so I pray as we look at these Scripture verses here this morning, that you'll be helped and the Lord will speak to our hearts. Paul is done with his introduction and he chooses his first topic to discuss. It's interesting, after he's done his introduction, he chooses to discuss the anger of God at the sinfulness of man. The anger of God at the sinfulness of man. You know, it's not hard for us to look into this world and see that sin is, seems like it's just more rapid and more rampant now than it's ever been. It seems like this, that right is wrong and wrong is right. In reality, whatever you want right to be, that it's right. But as Christians, we have a standard. As Christians, we have the Word of God, and it's not for us to decide what we like or what we don't like. It's not for us to decide what we think is right or what we think is wrong. You know, we don't have to decide that. God's already decided what's right and what's wrong. God's already decided what is sinful. God has already decided how He desires for us to live and what He desires for us to believe and how He desires for us to act. And so we come to verse number 18, and Paul is going to discuss the anger of God at the sinfulness of man. For many, it's a side of God that they'd rather not think about. We want to think about God as a loving God, and God is a loving God. We want to think about God as He is love, and the Bible says God is love, but the Bible also tells us that God is a holy God and God is a just God. God does have an opinion about sin. Let me say that again. God does have an opinion about sin, and God despises sin. God hates sin. And I want us to look here this morning here and give you three things here that I pray will be a help to us as we study through the book of Romans. First of all, in Romans chapter 1, verse 18, I want us to see the revealing of God's wrath. The revealing of God's wrath. Just as the righteousness of God, in verse number 17, the Bible says, "For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith." We come to verse number 18, so the wrath of God is revealed here in verse number 18, our text verse today. What a way to start a nice letter to the Christians in Rome, isn't it? Paul is not even met these Roman Christians yet. Paul is writing to them and says, I have a desire to come see you, and I can't wait to see you. I've heard of all the good things that have spoken about you. And then he comes in verse number 18 and begins to talk about the wrath of God that's revealed. What a way to start. Most sermons nowadays are about how God really loves you. But the topic of this sermon is what God is, His wrath is toward. You see, I believe this, maybe it's part of Satan's strategy. He knows that if people are ever found out that God does hate sin, If we were to ever find out that God, what God really thinks about sin, that God is a loving God, God is a God of love, but God also punishes sin, then maybe people would cry out to God and ask for mercy and ask for pardon. And so he could just get us to believe that God is just a loving God, that God would never have wrath. And then many people would not understand and believe who God truly, really is. But there's an attribute here today that we need to look at. Please understand that God's wrath, it's different. It's different than a fly-off-the-handle anger. This wrath is defined as a settled, abiding, determined anger that is controlled. So when we talk about God's wrath, we're not talking about wrath like we as humans would have. I'm not talking about a dad coming home and throwing things and getting upset and yelling and screaming and we're talking about God's wrath. God's wrath is a holy hatred towards sin. It's a holy hatred of sin. I want us to see here this morning the revealing of God's wrath. In verse number 18, again, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness. His revealing of God's wrath is against human, it's against human ungodliness. Ungodliness is a faulty personal relationship with God. It's a faulty concept of Him. It's against human ungodliness. We were created to have a personal relationship with God. Mankind was not created to fulfill his own lusts and his own desires. Mankind was not created to go through life trying to make something of himself. You know, the world we live in now, we're trying to convince us that we've got to make something of ourselves, make a mark, make a name for yourself. We were created to worship in fellowship with God. When God created Adam and God created Eve, they were there to commune with God and fellowship with God. Mankind was created to bring glory and honor to God. But because of sin, now man feels there's something other in life, something better in life, something more to life. And man has gone through life trying to find success or trying to find self-worth or trying to find something outside of godliness, outside of the Word of God, outside of worshiping God, outside of fellowship with God. And they come to this place that it are full of sin. We see that the revealing of God's wrath is against human ungodliness. We also find this in verse number 18. The Bible says that heaven against all ungodliness also and unrighteousness of men. The revealing of God's wrath, it's against human unrighteousness. This is wrong living that results from ungodliness. If your idea of God is messed up, then our living is going to be messed up. Many of us might believe that we decide how we like to live and how we want to live and what we think is right and what we believe is wrong. But God's wrath is revealed against human unrighteousness. God does not, it doesn't matter what we think of ourselves, God is never pleased. God never blesses sin. Man may choose to live an unrighteous life, but God doesn't wink at sin. God's not impressed with sin. God doesn't just allow sin. God despises sin, and his wrath is toward human unrighteousness, we find in verse number 18. We also find this, the revealing of God's wrath is against human unbelief. Finally, God's wrath is revealed from heaven against human unbelief. And Paul speaks of people who hold the truth in unrighteousness. And this idea that people suppress or hold down the truth, they are willfully blind. And they choose not to believe in God. There's a German philosopher that wrote this, "If you could prove God to me, I'd believe him all the less." What he's saying is, I'm willfully denying God. I choose not to acknowledge there is a God.
There are some that think this, if you could show me God, if God would speak to me from heaven, if God would reveal some other way, you know, it's just not enough to believe his word. I want something more than that. The reality is this, if God's word is not enough for you to believe God and believe in God and believe God for who he is, then nothing else is going to cause you to believe who he is. If God's word isn't sufficient, nothing is going to be. And this German philosopher is saying that. He says, if you could prove God to me, I'd believe him all the less. No matter what you say, I'm going to believe what I want to believe. Boy, doesn't that identify where our world is today? It doesn't matter what you say. It doesn't matter what you want to show. If you, the Bible says it, now there's many that are doubting the word of God. It's not really the word of God. It's just a book written by men. It's outdated. I want to submit to you this morning that the Bible is God's word. And we are to believe it cover to cover. Don't let any liberal persuade you otherwise. God, he is a God of wrath. You know, a doctor who loves health, he also hates disease. A teacher who loves A's, they hate F's. I've never gotten excited. I don't know. I should probably check with my wife. I don't think we've ever had an F brought home, but I don't think I'd get too excited if one of my kids brought an F home. But we get awfully excited when they bring an A home. A doctor who loves health hates disease. A teacher that loves A's hates F's. If you love children, then you hate child abuse. And if God loves righteousness, then he also hates unrighteousness. And because of this holy character, because of his holy character, he hates sin. Because of that, he unleashes the full force of his wrath against sin. You know, church, as we study the book of Romans here, and as I'm getting into this message this morning, I believe in Christianity and definitely in the secular world we live in today, we don't see sin the way God sees sin. We see sin as pleasurable. Christians see sin as an option or a choice that they can choose. But we must understand this morning that God's wrath, the revealing of God's wrath, is towards sin. If you ever shop for a diamond, you know that the technique that your jewelry store uses. I saw this on television. They were looking at these diamonds, and they put these diamonds behind or on top of a black cloth. They put these beautiful diamonds, they place them on a piece of black velvet, and when the million watts of light, when all the light is shined on those diamonds, it sets this light against this black drop. And its brilliance shines more clearly when they're placed against this black drop. It's the darkness that causes the stone to burst with this dazzling light. And in order for us to fully appreciate God's love, we must examine it against the black backdrop of his wrath. And as we study through this book of Romans, we're going to find some wonderful things about Romans. We're going to find in Romans how to be saved. And many of us will take the book of Romans, and we call it the Romans Road, and we show someone how they can trust Christ as your Savior. There are some wonderful things in the book of Romans to show someone how they can be saved. But also the book of Romans shows us that we are sinners and we need to be saved as well. Number two, I want us to see this morning the reason of God's wrath. If we were to look from verses 19 down to verse number 23, in verse number 19, the Bible says, because that which may be known of God is manifest in them, for God hath showed it unto them. For the invisible things of him from the creation of the world are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. Because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. I want us to see this morning, number two, is the reason for God's wrath. God has left evidence. One of the reasons for God's wrath is this: God has left evidence for us. That which we can know about God is clearly seen in creation all around us. God left us this world, and the heavens declare the glory of God. You know, as we look out into this world, as we look out into the heavens, we must know this. There is someone that created this world. There is no way the beauty of this world, the way that this world functions, the things of this world, the beauty, the mountains, the seas, this earth, there's no way it just happened by chance. You look out in creation and you see that there is a God. God's left us evidence. What Paul is saying is that God has left everyone on earth with enough evidence that there is a divine designer. And that divine designer is God. We look at creation and we see that there is an intelligent creator, and that intelligent maker, that intelligent creator is God. He's given everyone on earth enough revelation of who he is. You know, creation is God's handiwork. It's by the work, the hand of God. You know, as society again tries to cause there to sin to be okay and sin to be right, and you can decide if you want to sin, you can decide how you want to live, and the Bible tells us that that is sin and tells us what God thinks about it, and God's wrath is poured out upon sin. And we find this, that many in society today are trying to even take away the existence of God in creation. Isn't it ironic that some would believe that we were just formed from a big bang, that evolution is how we became? And that takes to me such much more faith than just believing that God said, let there be light, and there was light. It takes more faith to believe the evolutionary process than I think it believes that God is the creator of this universe. But we're trying to take that away as well, that God is not the creator. You see, if we could take God out of creation, if we can take God's existence out of forming us, if we can take God's existence out of creation, then we can determine this, that what God says really doesn't matter. But when we see that God is our divine creator, when we see that God is the one that created all things, when we see God is the one that created us for a purpose and for a reason, then we must realize this, then if God created us for a purpose, we must find what that purpose is and serve God with our lives. God's left evidence. The reason for God's wrath, we find from verse number 19 down to verse number 23, God has left his evidence. And secondly, the reason for God's wrath is we have no excuse. We have no excuse. I love presidential things, and one of the things I've seen a lot of pictures of, one day I'd love to go see, is Mount Rushmore. Has anyone ever seen Mount Rushmore in person? I've seen it in pictures, and I've read about it, and one day I'd love to go see that, but I've read a lot about it, and they say when you come up to that, it's just a wonderful sight. You see these huge, on the side of a mountain, huge bust of these presidents that are there. Could you imagine someone coming up to that and simply saying, wow, that was formed and that was made, and we're not quite sure who did it, but maybe one day it just appeared there overnight. No, someone knows, they walk up to it and they know that there was someone that had a plan, there was someone that had a tool, there was somebody that on purpose created that on the side of the mountain. The same way, we simply looking at creation, we can learn many things about the Creator. He is a God of power. We can look at creation, we learn things about the Creator, that he is a God of wisdom, he's a God of order, he's a God of beauty. Moreover, we're able to conclude that this supreme being, this God that we serve, he deserves our worship, he deserves our obedience. These facts explain why in every culture there's some belief in some supreme being. In every culture there's some that are looking for to fill that void in their life. And I believe this, that many of people are looking to fill that void. Nature shows that there's a God, and common sense shows that there's a God, and there's something inside of it that's searching. And many, instead of searching and finding the one true God, the Creator, they've found other ways. They found other gods. And we find that in Romans chapter number 1 here, and we read that many then turn to idols and turn to other things. In verse number 22, the Bible says, professing them to be wise, they became fools. They're searching for God, and instead of going to God and finding him there and filling that void in their life with the one true God, they're looking other places. They think they're wise, but it shows that they're fools. God's wrath is poured upon sin because we have no excuse. Thirdly, the reason for God's wrath is God has been exchanged. We find in verse number 21, because that when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful. But look what happened. But became vain in their imaginations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Verse number 21 makes it plain. Many men recognize there must be a God, but they choose to glorify something else. As a result, their foolishness, their heart is darkened. And when you reject God, you inevitably worship a substitute. And here we find Paul, as he's writing in this very first chapter, he's saying this, that man began to worship a substitute. They no longer worship the one true God, the creator of this universe. They began to worship a substitute. If you remember back in the Old Testament, the children of Israel, when they came out of the desert, they saw God do all those miracles. They saw God send all those plagues. They saw God deliver them from Egypt's hand. They saw the Red Sea open up, and they walked over on dry ground, and they saw God's power. They saw God's majesty. They saw God's glory. But not long into that wilderness, they began to worship a golden calf. How foolish that is. How foolish it is that we would know God and we would then allow a substitute. You know, this morning in each and every one of our lives, we might not have a golden calf that we're worshiping, but is there something more important to you than God? Is there something that you long for more than a relationship with God? If there's something that you love more than your relationship with God, then you are substituting your relationship with God with something other. Man is made with a God-sized hole in his life. And however, when that fool that we see here in verse number 21, we hear about that fool, when that fool says in his heart that there is no God, he's going to spend the rest of his life trying to fill a void that can only be filled by God in his life. Number three, I need to hurry here this morning. Number three, the results of God's wrath we find in verse number 24 through 32. And I'll be honest with you this morning, verse number 24 down through verse number 32, these are difficult passages. It's not difficult because it's hard to understand. It's difficult because the society we're living in today does not want to understand this part of Scripture. It's not difficult to understand. As we read it, we know exactly what the Bible's saying. The difficulty is this: it's not popular preaching in society today. On February 15th in 2015, during an episode of Oprah Super Soul Sunday, there's a man by the name of Rob Bell, the former head pastor of Michigan's Mars Hill Bible Church and author of Love Wins. This book was a book questioning the Orthodox Christian view of hell. He told the talk show host that he believes the church is moments away from embracing same-sex marriage. Bell and his wife had just published a book about marriage, and in Oprah, the talk show host there said, "I think it's great that you all made a conscious choice to include gay marriage in this book." Oprah stated, following a clip showing Mrs. Bell, Rob's wife, reading a selection claiming that same-sex nuptials are a gift to the world. She said, "Why did you do this?" And Rob Bell replied with a statement, "One of the oldest aches in the bones of humanity is loneliness. Loneliness is not good for the world. Whoever you are, gay or straight, it's totally normal, natural, and healthy to want someone to go through life with. It's central to our humanity. We want someone to go on this journey with." Oprah says this, "When is the church going to get that?" The reply was this, "We're close. I think it's evolving." Bell's wife interjected, "If the church continues to cite the Bible's prohibition on homosexual behavior, he recognized the Bible's truth on the matter, but choose to suppress, ignore, and pervert it. He says this, if we continue to suppress that, the church will become irrelevant in society." Can you believe that? You see, we find this, that result of God's wrath is moral darkness in society. You see, we can find it in the Bible. We can find it in culture today. People who turn from God almost always become sexually perverted. And we live in a very perverted society, don't we? God's wrath, the result of God's wrath, is moral darkness. Paul is talking about the sin of sodomy here in these portions of Scripture that we would read from verse number 24 down to verse number 32. And he's talking about the sin of sodomy and the sin of moral perversion. In verse number 26 through 27, we come to this hot topic of homosexuality. In verse number 26 and 27, he says, what happened? Man was denying God, and instead of worshiping God, instead of living for God, instead of living their life in accordance to God's will, they begin to serve other gods. They begin to fill that hole in their life with something other than God. They begin to worship other gods. And what happens when that becomes the case? There's moral darkness. Church, I think you'd agree with me this morning. There's moral darkness in our country. There's moral darkness. It's sickening. Sin has just infiltrated our society. We find here the practice of homosexuality in these verses. It's called vile and unnatural, unseemly. an error. It's called against nature. You know, whether our country, whether a politician, whether society likes it or not, God calls this sin. It's sin. It's moral darkness. And the only way to combat this sin, the only way to combat this moral darkness is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, we don't hate, you know, we would find, and I'm running short of time here this morning, and I'm trying to get off the ground here, and I'm not going to be able to finish most of my notes here this morning for sake of time, but if you were to read through much of this latter portion of Scripture, you would find 21 other things that are unrighteous. And for Christians, we do look at things like homosexuality. You look at those types of things, and they are sin, and we see it right here in Romans chapter number 1. But I want us to see as Christians, there's a whole list of things that are sin that causes God's wrath. Backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents. If you were to read through that list of those 21 things there in the last portion of this chapter, you would find a whole list of things that has caused God's wrath to be poured out. We need to, those that have children still in home and those that are raising their children, those grandparents that have influence with their grandchildren, we need to raise a generation that love the Word of God, that believe the Word of God. We can't have a generation that is compromising on the Word of God. We need a generation that loves the Word of God and loves God and wants to stand upon the Word of God. But we need to raise a generation that looks at the sinful things of this world and is not compassionate toward them, but is compassionate toward that sinner, compassionate toward the one that's involved in that, and instead of saying that they can't be reached, instead of saying they're too far gone, we need to take the gospel of Jesus Christ and share the gospel of Jesus Christ, because that is what's going to change this world. It's the gospel. We see the result of God's wrath is moral darkness. And lastly, the result of God's wrath is mental darkness. In verse number 28, even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. With moral perversion comes mental perversion. Did you ever see something and wonder to yourself, what are they thinking? Did you ever do that? What in the world are they thinking? How could that be right? It's mental darkness. Mental darkness. The Bible answers that question. When man fails and man falls, fails to acknowledge God at all, God gives him over to a reprobate mind. You see, the problem is this: more education is not going to solve this problem. If we educate sinners, all we do is make a more sophisticated sinner. People have completely dismissed God from their thinking. How do we resolve? How do we fix the problem with mental darkness? How do we fix the problem with moral darkness? It isn't try to educate people. It isn't try to do other things. The problem is this. The problem is an anti-God, an anti-Bible, an anti-biblical view. The solution is this, to show people what's right, to show people the Word of God. The solution is more God and more gospel. There's a list. There's a list of 21 things. Again, I don't have the time to go through all these things. This is the most comprehensive sin list in the entire New Testament you'd find here in these last chapters here in Romans chapter 1. Look with me in verse number 32, and I need to be finished here this morning. The Bible says this, who knowing the judgment of God, that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you know what I fear today? The only sin that is called sin today is to call sin, sin. The only thing that society doesn't like today is when you call sin, sin. And we find here, what happens? The result of God's wrath is a moral darkness. The result of God's wrath is a mental darkness. And what happens in verse number 32, people, they might not even be a part of those things, but have pleasure in them that do them. Do you know this issue that we're seeing in America with this, the bathroom issue? They say it affects such a small percentage of people. A small percentage. I mean, a fraction of a percent. But what's concerning is this. the percentage that aren't living that lifestyle that says it's okay, we ought to accommodate those that are. They're taking pleasure in them that do these things. Oh, Christian, listen to me today. We need to take a stand against the wickedness of this world. We need to realize this, that the result of God's wrath is moral darkness. The result of God's wrath is mental darkness. The world that we're living in today, the only sin is when we call sin, sin. If you do, we're labeled intolerant or we're labeled out of date, out of touch. A man in society today, he might be sick, but he's not sinful. He might be weak, but he's not wicked. He may be ill, but he's not evil. And even if you were to tell people that what they're doing is wrong, even if you were to tell them what's wrong, many would have an excuse why they do it. See, God's wrath is upon wickedness and sin. The only solution is for us to call sin, sin, and the only solution is for us to share that remedy with sinners. That remedy is the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul is going to speak and is speaking in chapter number 1 and talks very, very plainly about sin. But as you'll find as we continue to study through the book of Romans, you're going to find that Paul also is going to show the remedy to that sin, and that remedy is Jesus Christ. So how do we function? How do we live in a world as Christians? As we see the world getting more and more wicked, how do we live as Christians? I want to submit this to you, Christian, this morning, that we keep this book the focus. The principles of this book is what we build our lives upon. And then we take this book and we share it with a world that needs Jesus Christ. That's the remedy. But God's wrath, turn men over to moral darkness and allow them to have a reprobate mind, mental darkness. Oh, Christian, I pray this morning that we not become pleasures with them that do these things.